Hi, this is Jeff. Welcome to the Mind Goal Hour, or close to an hour. We had a little late hookup today, but we're off and running now. It's beautiful in the Sunshine State over here in Florida. I hope it's beautiful where you are, and I know it's beautiful inside, wherever you are. My name is Jeff, Dr. Jeff, if you're a little more formal. Papa Jeff, if you're the friendly teddy bear type. The Mind Goal Hour is about goal achievement strategies. We start with some very traditional approaches like writing down your goals and addressing how your goals intertwine with your entire life and addressing them holistically and putting time deadlines to them and time frames around them. So very traditional, but it's not mainstream on BBS radio, so we move into other areas. And I begin each show and I begin each of my Mind Goal seminars with pie. I'm still trying to get Table Talk Pies to sponsor my show, but I haven't heard from them, even though I told them that I must have eaten a gazillion of their pies, and I just gave them a plug on my show. Okay, PIE. PIE is an acronym for Primary Inner Exploration. And on the Primary Inner Exploration, imagine, if you will, or if you listened before and you've gone to my website and printed out your PIE, PIE is a circle, as you would imagine a PIE. And I have it cut up into eight pieces, or eight goals. And we take a primary inner exploration, this P-I-E. We take a look at eight aspects of our lives. We look at health and fitness, and our relationships, our career goals, our career satisfaction, our sense of self, our priority mission in life, which we may or may not know or may come to know, a legacy we'd like to leave in this life, and our community or team or job or group of some kind, spirit. And then we go off the mainstream, as I said, after we have done the pie and the traditional looking at these different goals and writing down these goals and how we feel about each of these pieces of pie, how we feel about our health and fitness right now, what we have as a goal in health and fitness, and in each of the other areas that I just mentioned, and I'll repeat them a few times through the show. And then we go off a bit into as I said, off the mainstream and a bit into the cosmic stream. We go to the inner work, and we go to the wordless inner work. And we take kind of an epic journey, and I began teaching meditation classes 30 years ago, going back 30 years. My love of acronyms hasn't changed. I still love acronyms. And I began teaching an epic journey. Epic, E-P-I-C, was a class in search of an experience of pure intuitive consciousness. And that's what we still look for. And today I more have to call it a wisdom whisper that takes us to the heart of the matter, no matter what that matter is. And because we talk about goals, and do you have a goal in mind? My website, before I forget, is mindgoal.com. That's M-I-N-D-G-O-A-L. And so we start each show with pie. I just told you about the pieces of pie. And typically, what I've done in my short career on this internet radio show has been to address one of the pieces of pie and explore that in some depth, as much as we can in an hour, and then talk about how we go to the wordless inner work. And today we're going to do it a little bit differently. As we cut into our pie, we're going to spend some time digesting each piece. And we're going to do some visualization and some guided imagery, and then you'll see. Or hear. Or both. In the 30 years that I've been teaching meditation, some of the feedback I get is that people typically love guided imagery and visualization, where they can close their eyes and let me paint a picture for them that they can then continue to paint themselves. And as a matter of fact, I've heard more than a few times, we enjoy that more than your talking. So today we're going to spend a considerable amount of time, even though this is radio and I'll continue to talk, but you, my friendly listener, can, if you so choose, spend quite a bit of time in some nice, relaxing visualization and guided imagery. So let's review, or if you're a first-time listener, let's view my favorite simple meditation or relaxation technique that's developed over the years that will help you digest your pie. It begins with very simple beginning step. And do this with me if you would. Take a moment right now to simply be quietly aware. Simply be quietly aware. Stop where you are and just take a look at your surroundings. Take a look at your environment. Feel the soft breeze. Feel the heat. Feel the cold. Feel the temperature of your clothes. But as much as you can, at least for a few seconds, listen to my voice will help. Just stay in that quiet awareness. Just stay in that non-narrative place. Just let yourself drink in your environment. Colors, textures, sounds, smells, nothing more. Just simply being quietly aware. As you do that, and if you've practiced with me a few times, you will feel a palpable physiological change. Something as simple as being quietly aware has a body reaction. There's a body reaction to that, a physiological reaction to that. Simply being quietly aware and quieting that, what most of us deal with, the incessant internal chatter, brings on an immediate, subtle, but immediate, peaceful feeling. You can feel yourself settle. The hubbub goes quiet. I right now am looking out over water. Just off my living room is what's called the intercoastal waterway. And out looking across my kitchen, I look between two huge condos, buildings, and I look onto the Gulf of Mexico. And so I use water as an analogy and metaphor for many things, but that's not unusual. A lot of scripture, a lot of teachers use water. And so, in this case, being quietly aware, imagine just a quiet lake. And when you're quietly aware and you look out over a quiet lake, and the quiet lake is a metaphor for the mind, when you look over the quiet lake, any disturbance in that or any ripple in that or any little fish that jumps in that, fish is a metaphor for an opportunity in your life, a solution to a problem, a path to a goal, you will see the movement. You will see the fish jump, and you will be attuned to that, and you'll be very aware of it, as opposed to a choppy, stormy body of water that may have that same little fish in it that does the same little jump, but you just won't see it because there's so much going on. The mind is in turmoil, and it's in the past, and it's in the future, and it's in the what-ifs and if-only, and solving tomorrow's problems, and regretting yesterday's, and all this. So quiet awareness is very simple and very powerful as you practice it. So as we begin to dig into our first piece of pie, we're going to start with quiet awareness, just listening to the sound of my voice. Just take a few seconds. And you'll notice if you tried it a few times, you came in and out of it as you were listening to me over the last couple of minutes, that quiet awareness is really beautiful initially, just like immediately in a snap of a finger. Let me put my fingers closer to the mic. In a snap of a finger, you go to that quiet awareness. Simple, easy. Everyone can do it. Easy to do. No one knows you're doing it. It's not obvious. And yet, you can feel yourself quickly just kind of settle down. But maintaining it for more than a few seconds, sometimes more than a nanosecond, is really difficult. There are a lot of distractions, a lot of things go on, and things pop into our mind, thoughts come in. We just, you know, if I said you stop thinking for a minute, that's a tough one. But there are ways to stay in quiet awareness, to sustain that quiet awareness for longer periods of time. And one that is central to almost every, if not every, meditation technique, relaxation technique, hypnosis or self-hypnosis technique, spiritual techniques, yoga techniques, is to become aware of our breathing, to notice our breathing, to notice our breath, or our spirit in us, our breathing, our life. To notice when we inhale, to simply notice that, just do this now, move to the quiet awareness, and then overlay it with breath awareness. Just be aware of when you are inhaling and when you are exhaling. simple as that. Quiet awareness and breath awareness. Just relax. I'm trying to bring us to a nice quiet place so we can digest our pie, literally, figuratively, and get more out of these goal achievement strategies that we're talking about. And so I'm going to come back to this later on and kind of wrap up the program with that, as I like to do. But for right now, just the quiet awareness and the breath awareness. Just quiet to breath awareness. And what I would like you to do is, you're listening to me, and as it occurs to you, I mean, we'll do other things, and I'll ask your attention in other areas, but as it occurs to you, just move back to that quiet awareness overlaid with breath awareness. Notice your inhale, notice your exhale. And allow yourself to just drift, if you will, with that peaceful feeling of that as you listen to my voice. Okay, that's your pie? Either written down, or if you have a real pie, good for you, or an imaginary piece of pie, or an imaginary piece of paper with the 8 pieces of pie outlined on it, or a printed version of the primary inner exploration that you found on my website at mindgoal.com. Okay, let's start with, what piece of pie do we want to start with today? We spend a lot of time on health and fitness. Let's start with home comfort. Home and comfort. Comfort of home, where we live. What I would like you to do is to be quietly aware of your home and your comfort in that home. Now, we're doing an inner exploration, so we might hit some sparks. We might hit a little resistance. And you might feel that I'm being a little too candid or a little too pushy, but I'm very gentle about it. What I would like you to do is to consider what you like about your home. Find something positive in your home, and I hope it's all positive, but find something that you can think of that's very positive about your home, where you live right now, and something very comforting in that home. Maybe it's a chair that you like that you can just sink down in. Maybe you have a porch that you sit on that's very comfortable. Maybe you and your wife have some special memory that every time you sit together on a little bench, that it brings a little spark, a little memory, a little something that just brings home and comfort. So from a very positive perspective, tune into where you live and pick up on the comfort of home, some piece of comfort, whether it's, you know, you've got another piece of lemon meringue pie in the refrigerator, something that gives you comfort. Just move your mind there. Create something. If you can't think of anything right off, you'll think of something. Come up with something. So you're comfortable and you're at home. Okay? And now we're gonna flip this coin, and I would ask you to think about something in your home, not necessarily that is uncomfortable. Let's see if we can put a more positive spin on that. On something you'd like to improve. Maybe it's a chair with a spring that's a little uncomfortable. Maybe it's an old worn-out chair. Maybe it's another room that you need. Now, we are going to leave the material realm and the realm of pure, rational, linear thought. We have more than that to offer today. Our pie is a cosmic pie as well. And so we're going to open up that intuitive side. Remember, we are in search of an experience of pure intuitive consciousness. And I just want to touch upon that before we go back to the home and comfort thing. We are rational beings. We have been taught, socially coerced, from a more political perspective, into relying on our thought process. And that's great, and it's very valuable to us. I'm not trashing thinking. I'm not saying don't ever think again. Thinking is good. Thinking is valuable. But thinking is not the whole thing. Thinking is not everything about life. What we have done by succumbing, if you will, to the social coercion, by getting in line, by staying in our seat, by obeying and being civil, and that's a good thing as well, except that without any great conspiracy, we each generation socializes the next in their tradition and their culture. And so we are socialized into thinking and being very rational. And there was a price we paid for that. And in my model, the price we paid was an atrophy or a reduction of our intuitive abilities. And I don't just mean a hunch about the lottery or who's going to win a race, but an intuitive sense of our being, of who we are and what our purpose is here on Earth, and what this life experience is about, or at least more of what it's about, we have given up. But it has not gone away. It is still available for us, and we just need to take it into, in some cases, an extreme makeover, in some cases, just a mild workout. But my approach is a balanced approach, the rational with the intuitive. And if rational is the powerful one, and if the thought processes and our intellect has become our entire identity, which so often happens, and we live by passion and reason and intellect, and that intuitive sense has atrophied to the point where, as many people do, live with a sense of quiet desperation, or our goals aren't being fulfilled, if our strategies aren't working for us, I believe that an approach, I don't believe in any exclusive clubs, I don't preach an exclusive club, I don't teach an exclusive club, I have a model that works for some people and other people find it silly. That's fine. For those who are still listening, my model says we are out of balance. If we are perfectly at peace and living a life that we love, and I pray and hope that all of you are. However, I'm about to complete my 65th trip around the sun, and it's been my experience that not everyone lives in that place of being totally fulfilled and have a sense of meaning and purpose in their lives, that many people have not either attained or sustained goals in their lives, and that they're still hoping and wishing and praying and looking for something in their lives. And I offer a structure for that, a strategy for that, that is, as I will repeat several times, on the one hand, grounded and balanced and offers traditional approaches that are very valuable, and on the other hand, says that it is the critical first step to it, the critical factor that will not only allow, but will effect balance and open up our sense of who we are to the point where we no longer underestimate who we are or what we can do. We begin to feel a sense of confidence and for some guidance, if you will, the more spiritual and theistic among us would say that we feel a spark of God's own fire. We feel that divine grace. We feel a sense of connection. And we move out of a sense of separation or duality in this world, and we feel connected to the world. We feel part of the world. We feel part of everyone. And that shift from being separated or feeling being separated to rediscovering, if you will, that we are connected, that we are not simply separate, discrete thinking beings. We are also connected with everything that lives and breathes and has its being. That everything in part of this life experience is in a very real way, energetically, to use that word, connected to us, and we are connected to it. That revelation, and it is nothing less than that, when that revisits us or comes to us, and we make that epic journey, when we get a taste of that experience of pure intuitive consciousness, or it permeates our being, it changes everything in our lives and for the better. And now we begin to see solutions, and now we find a new type of love in our heart. We have a different view of life and people in it and our role in it. And no words ever truly describe that. It requires your experience. You must eat your own pie and digest your own pie. So quiet awareness, breath awareness, and back to the home and comfort. We thought of something that brings us comfort, that brings us a sense of joy, a sense of well-being associated with our home. Okay? And next I ask you if you would just consider something that you would like to improve or change, maybe your attitude, maybe stress that you bring into the house, or maybe just sit down with your family or spouse or partner or significant other and talk about what you would like to see change. It doesn't have to be confrontational. We're talking about peace. I'm going to take a quick aside here and then come back to the pie to add a little bit of spice and flavor to our pie, a little cinnamon and sugar to our apple pie. At 10 years old, I was in class reading about world religion. I remember my seat. I remember how big the book was. Just from a 10-year-old perspective, it was huge. It may not have been as big as it now is in my recall, in my imagination. But we were studying world religions. And when we came to the Hindu religion, now I grew up in a Catholic home, I was born in a Catholic home. When we came to the Hindu religion, I shuddered when I read of the caste system and the untouchables. It was awful, awful, awful. But as we read about it, we came to a place that is called Nirvana. And when I read the description of that, I still see the words on the page, and they were in quotes with little dots in between, and it said, as we, in this Hindu-Buddhist type system, as we reincarnate, as we come back, and this is their system, as we come back, we have an opportunity to move up the ladder, if you will, and at the top of the ladder is, quote, perfect peace of mind, utter tranquility. Now, as I said, I grew up I was born into a Catholic family, French, Irish, English, Welsh, on and on, volatile New England family. Physical confrontation between siblings and son and father and sisters and mother were not all that uncommon. And I came into this family, and I don't know what kind of karma I was sporting, but when I came into the family at about 5 years old, I happened to run into every childhood disease you can imagine: mumps, measles, chickenpox, scarlet fever, whooping cough, on and on and on. And for months of that, I emerged, if you will, a quiet, sickly, pale, poetic, artistic type in a family of rowdy shoe factory workers, beautiful people, wonderful people. My grandmother was one of the most generous people in the world. She gave so much away and helped so many people. But it was a rowdy family, and I definitely just did not fit in. And I was in a mild state of terror most of the time. When I read of perfect peace of mind and utter tranquility, that resonated in my heart so powerfully and created such a longing. And we were studying world religions. I found myself at 10 years old visiting church after church after church, wanting to hear about this perfect peace of mind and this utter tranquility. And I would hear pieces of it, and I would hear parts of it. And that continued for a long time, continued for like 24 years, until I came into a situation in which I had a powerful transforming experience, and I'll leave it at that. That brought me a tremendous renewed life and inner peace. And part of the deal for receiving that was a deal I made, if you will, that said if I can have this inner peace that I have sought for so long, I'll spend the rest of my life sharing the possibility for knowing this inner peace or rediscovering this inner peace with everyone in every way that I can possibly come up with, from publishing books to doing seminars to having a private practice to finding myself on a radio show one day. And so my life mission, if you may, in one of the pies, priority mission, and I'm not going to stay over there, I'm going to go back home in comfort. My priority mission is doing what I'm doing, saying to those who have a goal in mind, whatever that goal might be, whether it's a desperate goal or quit smoking or losing weight or improving your golf game or managing stress, from the mundane to the spiritual quest, I want to be a witness. I'll take the witness stand, and I will say, here is my experience. I will attempt, in my ideal, to only speak from experience. And so when I say you can change your life, that your life will change, that you can be thunderstruck, that you can move along very subtly until one day you say, wait a minute, everything's changed. I hardly noticed it was happening, but everything's changed. And over the years, I have put together this model. That says, here's a practical application, and here's the other leg. Here's the spiritual approach to it. So, as I mentioned earlier, the wordless inner work, and that's what we're moving toward. So home and comfort, thought of a beautiful association, and something you'd like to improve. And now what I'd like you to do, if you're willing, is to pick up on quiet awareness, overlay it with breath awareness, and now you're going to go into something a little different that is even more subtle than the breath awareness, even more subtle than the quiet awareness, and actually can take a long time to attune to. Not necessarily. You can attune to it within seconds, and that is heart awareness. And let me explain what I mean by that. That going from quiet awareness, when your eyes open, so you're looking at your environment, to breath awareness, and a lot of people like to close their eyes about that point, where you're just noticing your breathing and relaxing with each flow of breathing. Sometimes kick-starting that with a strong initial breath so that you're kind of queuing up, if you will, so that you're going from quiet awareness to breath awareness and then to silent breathing, just noticing your inhale and exhale. And the next overlay, quiet awareness, stay with quiet awareness, overlay it with breath awareness, and now overlay it with heart awareness. Heart awareness simply means listening, inner listening. As we inhale, there's a very subtle vibration that comes up our windpipe, esophagus, whatever you would call it. And with focus, with some attention, we can notice that vibrational, that little, the inrush of air creates a feeling that you can feel it rise as your chest lifts, as your stomach lifts. You can feel that vibration come right up the middle of your chest. And with some imagination, you can allow that to go right at the top of your head. And then as you exhale, you just kind of let it settle back down, say, to the top of your stomach. Heart awareness is simply listening for a wisdom whisper. No words, but just wisdom. Maybe uncovering a wisdom. You know, the term guru is used in just about any context today, but in a spiritual context, my understanding, what I've read of the origin of this word is that guru is gu, darkness, ru, remover, darkness remover. So what we're looking to is to remove any darkness, anything that's clouding wisdom, that's keeping us from really sensing who we are in this life, of recapturing the joy. One of my favorite teachers said, only as a child you enter this kingdom. Heart awareness is incredibly subtle. And there are models that parallel this from the chakra that goes from the heart chakra to the throat chakra, the ether, the decision-making point, to the third eye, the sixth chakra, and the seventh chakra, the crown chakra, that lets us experience or realize that we are already a spark of God's own fire, connected to God, connected to everything, if you prefer to not use theistic language. But we can achieve an inner peace, and we can achieve a perfect peace of mind and utter tranquility with something as simple as this little, and here's a word for those of you who would like to use it as a mantra, Q-Baha, Q apostrophe, that's quiet awareness, Ba, breath awareness, heart awareness, Q-Baha. And some people, some of my students like to use that as a silent mantra, with the Q as being the Q, the C-U-E, and the breath that's loud enough to hear as a kickstart, as a cue, and then the Baha is the relaxing breath. And what I suggest is that if that works for you, if it's just cue, Baha, that keeps you in the rhythm, that's great. Use that word on occasion. If you find yourself drifting off into thoughts so often that you begin to get distracted too frequently, use cue Baha as a mantra. But what I do suggest is that you not become dependent upon that word, that over time that it becomes wordless. And that what you are doing is enjoying the quiet meditation, the simple meditation, the relaxation technique, and that you're simply listening for the inner wisdom to connect, for your head and your heart to connect, if you will. When we think of people who are particularly wise, who are kind and compassionate, well, I don't say they have a good head or they have a good brain. We say they have a good heart. And what this meditation technique is meant to do, and I believe all meditations are meant to do, whether it's a stress management technique or a spiritual quest technique or a maintenance of an enlightened perspective, is connect our consciousness with our inner wisdom, our head with our heart. And when we have this connection made, in hypnotherapy we call it the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. However you might view that in Christian circles, in mystic Christian circles, I teach a mystic heart meditation at a church. We speak of the heart as the throne room of God, the throne room of who we truly are, of our connection to God. So however it's comfortable for you that, I don't, the mystic heart beats apart from theistic language. It doesn't need it. It can be found in virtually every religion. You will find a mystical sect or part of virtually all the major religions, the Kabbalists in Judaism, the Sufis in Islam, a Muslim religion, and the Christian mystics in Christianity, and on and on. It's meant to be a spiritual discourse. I just want to mention that in passing, that this Kubaha, this quiet awareness, breath awareness, heart awareness, will help you digest your pie. So, back to home and comfort. You have thought of something that you like, that felt good, that felt comfortable. You've thought of something that you'd like to improve. Now what I would like you to do is move into this quiet awareness and into the Kubaha meditation and simply listen for the sound of my voice for the next few minutes. Just relax. Don't do this if you're driving, but what are you doing on internet radio if you're driving? Maybe you can do that with a wireless, but either pull over or don't listen to this. But if you're sitting quietly at home or in your office or someplace where you're just listening to this internet radio show, simply relax and listen to the sound of my voice as you enjoy your quiet awareness. You notice your breath, your inhale and your exhale. And you simply listen to the wisdom in your heart and listen to the whisper. There are no words, there are no sounds. It's very subtle. And now what I would like you to do, you can close your eyes or open your eyes. It's up to you what's comfortable. We can visualize with our eyes open. You don't need to close your eyes to visualize. What I would like you to do is imagine your ideal home comfort and be as fanciful as you like. Imagine, create, if you will, and let me kind of help you get there. I'd like you to do this way as we approach that perfect home comfort. It can be where you are living now, or it can be something you would like to create in your imagination. Your goal. This is about achieving your goal. So your goal, your ultimate goal, your most fanciful, outrageous. I love something I read in an anonymous quote recently. It said, be outrageous. It's the only place that isn't crowded. So be outrageous in your creation of this home, in this primary inner exploration that we're doing. With this piece of pie, close your eyes or relax. Or leave your eyes open. But imagine your ideal dream, because we are in kind of a lucid dream thing that we're doing here. Your dream house, your dream home, your dream comfortable, joyful home. When we talk about achieving goals in any of the areas that I mentioned, any area of our life, when we list what is success for us, and I challenge people with this often in live seminar, I'd like you to list a few things that mean success for you. And then what I tell them is that every one of you has exactly the same list. And I immediately hear that, oh, no, we don't. It's very subjective. Success is different for everyone. And I say, no, it isn't. And after a little while, I ask, if those items, those goals that you listed, were what you believed would bring you happiness and contentment, if that isn't the true measure of success, if that isn't what... When we think of home and comfort, when we think of that beautiful, healthy body, when we think of that beautiful, healthy relationship, that beautiful, healthy career, that beautiful, healthy sense of self, that beautiful, healthy priority mission in life, that beautiful, healthy legacy that we leave our family and our community, that beautiful, healthy community spirit, when we think of that, we are thinking about happiness and contentment. That's the measure of success, and that's what we seek. And we can list our goals, and we can make resolutions to the high heaven. Well, I probably shouldn't use that. Make them to the high heaven. you're done. They'll have. We can make them for a long time and be adamant and resolute in goal seeking. But until we've done some inner work, until we've really gotten a hold of what we really, really want, until we uncover and rediscover who we really are, until we come to our true home, we will have created goals that are not, that we don't truly own. That we've been influenced by, that something has influenced them, I mean. That we're either being emotionally manipulated or we're doing what we think other people would want us to do. There's some infiltration that keeps it from purely being ours. And with Kubaha, with this quiet meditation, with a simple meditation, combined with the practical steps, you will own your goals, and they will be yours. And what you'll find if you choose to tune in to follow-up shows is that each time we do this, don't be surprised if when you digest your pie or when you create, you make your next pie, that a lot of things change, that what you saw as your ultimate goal or your highest aspiration suddenly is higher or suddenly is lower, that your priority changes, that what is important in life takes on some very different meaning for you. Now, this show, it's for people who have a goal in mind and people who feel it's important to pursue health and happiness, who are looking for more peace of mind, for more happiness and contentment in their life. It's also for people who have everything they want, who have achieved those goals, who know that what I'm speaking of resonates in their heart with truth. They will love the show, and this makes up a great deal of the email that I get about this show from people. And thank you, Wichita, and thank you, Texas, for some of the nice emails about this that said what you're saying is so important, and we need to be reminded of it so often. So, if what I'm saying resonates with you, and you know this, and it's simply clarity for you, then my experience has been that you'll enjoy this affirmation as I do if I hear someone speaking along these lines, and they use a different model, a different parallel, they come from a different religion, but I see the similarities, I see the connection, and I love to hear that. It's affirming for me, and it makes me feel stronger. So, I typically feel that I have three audiences. Those who are aspiring, who have goals, who are anything from mildly enthusiastic about achieving a goal to desperately seeking a goal or desperately seeking peace of mind. And I find people who are happy and content and successful and enjoy peace of mind and are very positive contributors to this world and to the people around them and who enjoy hearing about it and being reminded of how fortunate we are and how graced we are in our life and how beautiful it is to have received this incredible gift. And then the third that I find are people who have times in their life, and someone said to me, that's really the human condition in great part, that people who have tasted this, who have come to that place of happiness and contentment, have had those times in their life where things worked, where everything came into harmony, where they felt perfectly attuned, and somehow the cares of the world, and as is politically, and I mean poetically said in some scripture, that the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of the flesh, don't ring a bell with anybody, change, alter, choke out that joy and that happiness, that we make some mistakes, we make some poor judgment, and we find ourselves longing to return to that place. I am a preacher, a teacher, a believer who says that you can return to that place. Once you've tasted that and the scripture that supports it, depending on how much your experience can interpret it as truth, that if you have tasted that and walked away from it, that some awful teaching has been that you cannot renew it. But that's the kindergarten teaching, the advanced teaching, alluding to Hebrews 5 for you biblical scholars. The advanced teachings say that go back and tend the garden and you'll harvest once again. And so this is Mr. Green Jeans in the garden and inviting you to come back in the garden if you're in that category. So where were we? Home and comfort. Now, if you stayed in that nice quiet place as I rambled on, wonderful. If you didn't, wonderful. Let's go back to quiet awareness, breath awareness, and just listening to my voice and visualize home. Home as you would love to see it. I started to say, let me take you there. In this quiet awareness, in this breath awareness, in this visualization for a moment, I'd like to just kind of guide you a little bit. I'd like you to imagine that you're just walking. You're walking along a grassy field, and there's a path in the field. And just walk along the path. just kind of imagine yourself walking along the path, beautiful blue sky, soft breeze, temperature's perfect. Hear some birds. I can hear some birds right outside my window. And you're enjoying it. I wonder if you can hear that. That's so great. Somebody email me and let me know if you hear all those birds. There's a couple of loud songbirds right outside my window. Imagine the birds. Imagine them walking along the path. Now, as you walk along the path, it's going to be like a little tree stump, a little soft place, a little hollowed-out place. It looks like a perfect little chair, just perfect for your buns, just your size. And just sit down there for a moment. And what I would like you to do, and I'm leading you to your ideal home, to your perfect home. As you sit down on that stump, you hadn't noticed it, but looking just across the path that you just left to sit down in this little chair, is one single flower. Look at that flower. Remember that flower. Describe that flower to yourself right now. Colors, the shape. What type of flower it is, if you know that. Okay? And now just stand up and continue down the path. And as you walk down the path, you're going to move into a residential area. And because we're dealing in lucid dreaming, time and logic don't matter. We can move from a path and a field to a sidewalk or a paved road or a downtown residential area or a large condominium or a beautiful mansion on a hill in a nanosecond. Just walk along until you come to your dream house. You'll know it and stop. And look at your dream house and go in. Go into the dream house. And I want you to find people in there whom you know, you work with, you live with, you know, and you care about, who care about you. This is going to be comfort. There's no stress. This is a stress-free home. And what I would like you to do while you're in there, in this home, in this ideal home, notice what's there. Notice what you can put anything you want there and keep coming back to your ideal home. Now, there are some lions of fear and doubt who love to spoil the party and come in and trip you up a bit. Just return to the quiet awareness, the breath awareness, the heart awareness, listening to my voice, and just come back and enjoy the comfort of this home that you've created. And you can clean it out in a second of any disruption, of any stress, and bring it right back to beautiful, peaceful, utter tranquility. Gorgeous home. Just everything you want in it, everyone you want in it, all the love you want in it. And what I'd like you to do is, while you're enjoying your home, find a place to just sit quietly in this home. And what I would like you to do now, we're going back to the rest of the pie. We're going to see how these relate, because we are holistic. We are connected, and everything in our life is connected. And if one part of our life is not working, it can sour. I was going to say flavor. It can sour. If it's not working, it can sour the rest of our pie. So we want a nice apple, cinnamon, sugary, beautiful pastry crust, double crust apple pie. Blueberry, if you like. Lemon meringue, if you like. I'll take any of those. What I would like you to do in this comfortable place, in this ideal home situation that you've created, I would then like you to just, and this will only take a few minutes because we only have a few minutes left, I'd like you to see yourself in the healthiest, most fit body you can imagine that you would have as your goal, if health and fitness were the pie we're working on today. Tie that together with your home comfort. Now look at the people in your home and create the very best relationship. What you need to bring to it, if there are things to improve on your part, what they need to bring to it, it's all happened. It's all there. The ideal has been created. The relationships that you want are just the way you want them. And the love, you can feel the love in this relationship. Okay? In all these relationships. Every bit of damage has been repaired. Don't let the lines back in on any negative. Throw them out. And now I want you to think, in the comfort of your own home, in the comfort of your very healthy body, in the comfort of loving companions, I want you to think about your career. Now, this is your career that is in part of your perfect pie, the career that you want, the career that is at the pinnacle of achievement in your field, where you see yourself ultimately. That would be the very best you could imagine. This is your world. Just imagine it, the very best. So you have your health and fitness. You have the relationships. You have the career satisfaction. I want you to think of the people you work with, a community that you're in, a neighborhood you're in, a team you may be part of, a group you're part of, some combination that has you and other people involved. And I want you to bring the very best self, the very best you into that, and to bring the very best team spirit into that, the very sense of working together, of being connected. Bring that in to this worldview that you're now creating from the comfort of your home. Now, the last three pieces, the sense of self, the priority mission in life, and legacy, these can take some time. Now, a sense of self you're beginning to get as you have the comfort of your home, your health, the relationships, your career satisfaction. And your sense of self has grown in just that exercise. And by grown, I simply mean has become more solid, has become more identifiable, that you see who you are. And notice as your home comfort, as your health and fitness improves or moves in the area that you want or maintains where you are, as your relationships are exactly where you want them, as you feel great about your career, your job, your whatever you do for being productive in this world, as those feel good to you, now that's half the piece of pie. We've covered a lot of territory. As you recognize your responsibility to in each of these areas, but especially in the team spirit, that you attune to that. Now we're 5/8 into the pie. A whole lot of rediscovery can go on in just that. And so what I would like to do is to, because we're coming up to 5 minutes of the hour, and I don't want to go too far over, even though I started a little late, I don't want to bump into the next show. Take those 5 pieces of pie, and next week, or in a few weeks, or in the coming weeks, I will touch upon sense of self, which ties into all of this, a priority mission, which requires a little explanation, and a legacy, what you want to leave, probably doesn't require explanation, but there may be some perspectives that I might bring in on it. And before I forget, or before time runs out, what I would like to do is tell you about some guests I have coming up for the next few weeks. I have some wonderful guests with some unique perspectives. I did the first few shows to kind of get more comfortable. I feel myself more comfortable today. I think this is my 4th or 5th show, maybe more, maybe less. But I'm beginning to feel, I'm getting into the spirit of it. My pie is beginning to bake, and so I'm feeling good about the show. And I have been the sole spokesperson of my show for this time. Beginning next week, and for the next few weeks, quite a few weeks, as many weeks as I can, I will bring guests in. Next week, our guest will be speaking to us from India. I think New Delhi is where he is. And he says that in 10,000 years, humans will live to be 500 years old. This is Rajesh Singh, Indian spiritual and scientific scholar with an incredible bio, and we'll go into that more next week. Well, he has a vast knowledge of physical science, and he brings that and biblical evidence to prove that, in his words, we have yet to reach our evolutionary peak. And Singh is the author of a newly released title. It's called Human Species and Beyond. I'm reading my review copy now, and boy, it is not light reading. It's 10 pages a day, and then hear the rattle in my head and read them over again to let them settle in. He's going to have some incredible things to talk to us about, and I'm hoping that you might call in. I didn't invite call-ins today. I knew that we were running a little short on time. Next week we'll announce the call-in. We have an international call-in number. But my guest next week, Rajesh Singh, will be talking about methods of controlling your mind and preparing your spirit, ways to realize inner peace and peace with others, how we can use God to understand cosmic evolution, where science and religion meet, and will we really live to be 500 years old? The following week, Harvey Perlman from St. Petersburg, Florida, will talk to us about body talk. And this is a healing modality that he says complements all healing modalities, physical, mental, and spiritual. And he has some incredible testimonies to back up his words and his work. And he's very passionate about it. He's very articulate. You'll really enjoy him. And then the week week after that, in 3 weeks, a pretty outspoken young author, Michael Jones, he says that traditional science is wrong. That's definitely not mainstream. Michael Jones is the author of A Logical Universe, A Layman's Reality, and Michael will provide us with some very simple, logical conclusions that show traditional science has dropped the ball, in his words. And he argues that the universe is very simple, and a very simple and logical thing that any layperson can understand given a few simple theories. He'll talk about crucial mistakes that scientists are making. He'll talk about pursuing new developments in science, why we do not yet understand our universe, and what future space travel might look like. So that should be great fun. And in 4 weeks, Sandy Andrew will tell us why he is so certain that, in quote, we have a preordained destiny that we rarely follow. Sandy Andrew believes that as the aging process takes hold, we get sucked into careers and life paths and end up losing our real passions and motivations. In his new book, Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series, he introduces his theory of universal learning, which and it focuses on helping people rekindle their inner desires and passions. And so what he's going to talk about are steps toward personal fulfillment, finding your life passion, increasing your awareness of the universe, and he has 12 life-changing universal laws to tell us about. And if we have enough time in this lifetime, Sandy will tell us about understanding past lives, karma, and deja vu. Whew. So, let's end the day by settling back in some nice, relaxing, guided imagery. Enjoy the imagery. Enjoy your beautiful home and the beautiful comfort of your home. Each breath we have is precious. Life is precious. Enjoy the Kubaha meditation if that appeals to you. And stop by mindgold.com anytime. See you next time. This is Jeff Bellier, Dr. Jeff, for the Mind Gold Hour. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.